O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? I want to key really particularly on this. This sermon title that the Lord gave me today is called Signs of a Faithless Generation.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Can we pray? Father, again, it's been a privilege to be in your house, and we, again, want you to be glorified. Hear our hearts, O God, because that's what you're listening to. And I'm asking, Lord, that as we begin to dig into your word, I'm going to ask that you would teach us. Teach us, Lord, as we study to show ourselves approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So teach us today, and we'll thank you as we gather together here on Hall Valley Drive to lift up the name of Jesus. God's people said amen and amen this morning. All right, I am reminded of Pastor Aaron's shortest sermon that he ever preached. It's where he said he would get up and he would say, "All right, everyone, stop sinning. Let's pray." Right? And let's go home. So that was my first message. Now I'm going to get into the second one, Brandon. Okay? And it's a little bit longer. I have a word that the Lord, again, has placed upon my heart. And as Judy said, I'm so thankful as God continues to guide us, continues to bring a word. And I never have to be concerned about that because it's God's heart to bring what he wants to say to his people. And so I don't have to worry about coming up with something because this is God's heart and what the Lord brings to us. Jump over with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9 is where I want to begin today. And I'm so thankful that after all these years that God has continued to allow me to bring his word. And, you know, this year, Living Water Church has been here 18 years. Isn't that awesome, Sheila? Amen. Awesome. How God has made provision for us. And how he will continue to in the years to come. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 38. Now, a few weeks ago, I had preached a sermon about watching your words. And you remember how Peter was up on the mountain and he didn't know what to say. And so he just opened his mouth again. How many of you have been working on that mouth? And you're thankful that today's sermon is not about that. But this is like right after they come down in verse 37. The next day when they were come down from that mountain, much people met him. And verse 38 says, "And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, 'Master, I beseech you, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly cried out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising and hardly departing from him. And I besought your disciples to cast him out, and they could not.' And Jesus answered, said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring your son here.' And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, 'Let these sayings sink down within you.'" I want to key in here on verse 41. There are many things that we could take from this passage as far as there are demonic spirits that are still in the world today. How many of you know that? His disciples were not able to cast these spirits out as they were dealing with him while Jesus and the other disciples were up on the mountain. And Jesus says in verse 41, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? I want to key really particularly on this. This sermon title that the Lord gave me today is called Signs of a Faithless Generation. And my heart has been extremely grieved over the last year or two as we've seen what is beginning to happen, not only in America, but on a worldwide scale in our world today. And I come back to this as the Lord began to speak this to me, that there is a faithless generation that we are living in today, in today's world. And when we break these words down here, when Jesus said, O faithless generation, he said, you are a faithless generation and you are a perverse generation. When we look at these words today, the word faithless right there that he was talking about in the Greek means you are actively disbelieving. You are without a Christian faith and untrustworthy. Now, as I say those, does America come into your mind? Now, we pick up the second verse here. He said, you are a perverse generation, speaking to them, and I believe speaking to us today. The word perverse here means you have been distorted from your original design. Morally corrupt, turned away, and twisted. I want you to think about our generation today. I want you to think about our world today, where we are at. Now, this was not the only place that Jesus says these words. They're actually in all four Gospels. Do you think it's important? When his words ring out, and those words were ringing out to me as I sought the Lord for the message today, faithless generation. So when we look at this, the very first sign that we see in this is actively disbelieving. Actively disbelieving. This means that there is a purpose behind the disbelieving. In other words, it is not just one little episode of disbelief. This is something that is actively growing. How many of you have ever made bread before? Several of you. And when you put yeast in bread, what does it do? Because the yeast, how many of you ever read the package? It says active yeast. In other words, it is going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. If you know anything about bread making, when you put that yeast in there and you expose it to warmth and you expose it to moisture, it begins to grow. And it takes that flour. At first, it is a solid piece of hunk of dough with no air in it, but then it begins to actively grow until it puffs and puffs and puffs and puffs. This is what is meant by actively disobeying and actively disbelieving. Now, I normally don't use too much stuff from the internet, and you guys know that for sure. But this is from a Christian organization. It's called PewResearch.com. And I just wanted to see some statistics as to what is going on today. And this comes from one of their articles in one of their research that they've done and talking with people and a certain amount of statistics. It says the secularizing shifts evident in American society so far in the 21st century show no sign of slowing. The latest Pew Research Center survey of the religious composition of the United States finds the religiously unaffiliated share of the public is 6 percentage points higher than it was 5 years ago and 10 points higher than a decade ago. So what's happening here? Christians continue to make up a majority of the U.S. populace, but their share of the adult population is 12 points lower in 2021 than it was in 2011. In addition, the share of U.S. adults who say they pray on a daily basis has been trending downward, and has the share who say religion is very important in their life is decreasing. Currently, about 3 in 10 U.S. adults, 29%, are called religious knowns, people who describe themselves as atheists, agnostics, or nothing in particular when asked about their religious identity. So in America, 29% say they are nothing. They have no belief. And according to this research, in 10 years, populace is going down every 10 years of those who claim Christianity. To me, this is a faithless generation that Jesus is referring to, where it is actively in decline. I think it's something that we as Christians and God is concerned about His church. Now, God will always have a remnant of people that He has that love Him. And this is the call that we have for us today. Are we going to be among that trend that continues to decline in what we believe? Or will we hold fast to the things of God and to the things that God has done in our lives and hold fast to those, and we will not let go despite what the world is doing around us? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we've been here several times in the past, but again, this comes into play. Verse 1, this know also that in the last times perilous times shall come. There are probably things that are happening in our United States government that we're not aware of. Right before Miss Pat Buxton left from living here in Bridgeport, I got a chance to talk to her. And you know, she said, in all of my close to 80 years, 80 plus years, she said, I never thought I would see the day that our American government would be so corrupt. Perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, from the research, 29% says they are nothing. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. Which means that there are 70% that perhaps still claim a Christianity of some sort. But how are they serving God? Is it this way? And still claiming the name of Jesus? Matthew chapter 24. Jesus speaking here. In verse 37. But as the days of Noe or Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one be taken, the other left. Two women grinding in the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known to watch for the thief and what time he would come, then he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. How many of us will be found faithful when the Lord comes? Or when that call comes to leave this earth? I think God is trying to desperately get the attention of His people. And the way that His people are living. And how important it is that we are doers of this Word of God and not just hearers only, sitting every Sunday, listening to a message, and then saying, well, then I'm just going to continue being the way that I am. God has been working and working and working. He loves us. And His design is for us to change. Signs of a faithless generation. We see active disbelieving in our United States right now and how important it is. How about the second sign? A perverse generation. There is perversion, morally corrupt from God's original designs. Now, interestingly enough, that same Pew Research did another study. And when Jesus says a perverse or a distorted from original design, are we seeing that in America right now? I told Rick as I came in, he looked at the sermon title. I said, I may get in trouble somehow, some way today. But here is what Pew Research says regarding what the world today considers LGBTQ or whatever else that is out there. An overwhelming share of Americans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender adults, 92% of those individuals say society has become more accepting of them in the past decade, and an equal number expect it to grow even more accepting in the decade ahead. What do we see happening? An acceptance. They attribute the changes to a variety of factors, from people knowing and interacting with someone who is LGBTQ to advocacy on their behalf by high-profile public figures. And we see it being promoted within our country. Jesus said a faithless and perverse generation, meaning distorting from original design. And I will hold what God's Word says, that this was not the original design that God had for mankind. Now, and again, I will tell you this, and I've preached on this in the past. God's desire for us is to love individuals to heaven. We are not to hate anyone in these communities. We are to share the gospel with them as we would share the gospel with anyone else, in anticipation that life would change. Paul, again, remember, said, such were some of you, but you have been changed. God has worked in lives, and that's the only way the change can take place. But with society accepting, as we see here, and they're looking for equal parts, to again be doubled in 10 years of acceptance, where will the church go? Will the church be an acceptance Or will the church hold fast to what God's Word says? We must hold fast to what God's Word says. Not too long ago, I met with an individual. And this individual told me that they were gay. And wanted to know, they said, they had been to other churches and other churches just simply would not have them say, no, we don't take your kind. And wanted to know where our church stood. Our sign says, all welcome. And that means anyone in any condition away from God, with God, is welcome here. But God expects change. And as I shared the Word of God, and I shared what God said and what God's heart was, and how God loved that individual, and how God's desire was for His plan and for change, they said to me, thank you for sharing that with me. No one has ever shared why. But you see, that had to come out of love for the individual and that God loves and God desires change. Unfortunately, they chose not to give their hearts to Christ in that particular instance. But we never know when we cast that seed out what God is going to do. His heart is not for us to hate these individuals. We do not agree with the sin, and we do not condone the sin. But we love. But you see, the attitude is that the perverseness of society continues to decline and go further and further to where this is the enemy's plan that all would accept sin as if it's natural. And it's being shoved down our throats in every direction. But God says, that's not my will. But you see, on the same report, there are what they have quotes from individuals that are in these lifestyles. And this first quote says, I finally feel comfortable to be in my own body. I can be who I am, finally. Now listen. When we begin to put the Word of God, you begin to know who you are. Who you are and what God made you to be is not what the world is giving to us right now. We have to share because these are individuals that fully believe that there's no God. And God made them, if they do believe that there's a God, that God made them that way. And we have to stand firm in the Word of God. Amen? We have to stand firm because these are individuals that the Bible says minds have been blinded. Satan has blinded the eyes. Now, we're not just talking about those individuals that call themselves gay or lesbian or homosexual or whatever it is. We're talking about anyone that is away from God and living a lifestyle of sin. Because sin is sin. And God's heart, listen to me folks, God's heart is that we would come back to Him. That's His whole heart. The Lord has been just extremely pressing on my heart in the book of Isaiah. I've been studying through the book of Isaiah and my heart just has been broken because perverseness means twisted morals and twisted values. A perverse generation is one that has these twisted values. We are seeing this in government in high places right now. We really are. How many of you ever thought you would see a day like we're seeing today? And I'm going to show you a picture of what is almost America, if not the exact replica, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They were gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Will you yet revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, nor mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour in your own presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord. You rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of your God, you people of Gomorrah. As I read through this, I could see America plain as day. Now think about it. Think about it. It is a repeat. Your country, verse 7, has been burned with fire. Others have devoured your country. Now, whether you know it or not, foreigners are buying up American soil faster than you can even imagine. Our land has been burned with fire. Things are happening. Recently, yesterday, the day before, a tornado coming through Mississippi. And I praise God, Adrian was okay and his family. Floods. California is experiencing things they have not experienced before. Heavy snowfall. God is trying to get the attention of America, folks. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, you people of Gomorrah. I look at this and I hear God, and as I began to read through that this week, my heart began to break and I began literally crying. God began to break my heart over the condition of America. It's God's heart that we come back to Him in repentance, folks. Turn over to chapter 5. And again, you're going to see the heart of God. Chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. That's serious, folks. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiced shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man will be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, that God shall be holy and sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after this manner, and the waste places of their fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. That is simply saying this. Those that are in government, that are doing the things that they are doing and thinking they are getting away with it, the word is woe. Woe, because they are not getting away with it. All things are naked and open under the eyes with whom we have to do, the Lord God Almighty, the God of judgment, the God of righteousness and justice. These are individuals, verse 19, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. In other words, making fun of the Almighty God and saying, where is he? We're doing all these things. Where is he? Why hasn't he shown up to stop us if he's all that mighty? You want to know why God hasn't shown up to stop? Because of the mercy that he has because of Jesus Christ. But there is a day that is appointed that is coming. Look at verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do you understand what is being promoted in our society today that is saying that all these things that God says are wrong and that are an abomination to Him that are being called good and being called acceptable? Do you understand that's what He's talking about here? He's saying woe to those individuals that do that. And woe to those that promote it and say, it's good, it's okay, we just need to accept it. Woe! Do you want to hear God say to you, woe? God's heart is groaning for His people. He's groaning because what is happening is that those that once had called themselves believers in Jesus are now saying all these things are acceptable. When you turn back to chapter 1 there in Isaiah, God's heart is this. Chapter 1, verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand? To tread my courts. In other words, taking God to task and treading on His courts and saying, I don't care what God says. Bring no more vain oblations. Bring no more incense. The calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity. It is no good, God says. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. You know what God is saying? Individuals that are coming up with justifications, do you know that there are churches now that have come up with their own doctrine and saying these things are okay? And using the Word of God as a manner of saying it's okay. God says you're treading my courts. Verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. There's Pastor Aaron's sermon. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool. Do you hear the heart of God here? That's His heart in this faithless and perverse generation. Come, let us reason together. And may the people of God that know the Word of God never back down and hold fast to the Word of God. I believe that for such a time as this, this world that we are living in, God has placed us here to uphold His righteousness. When many at our left and right are falling, and saying, it's okay. God is saying, uphold my righteousness. For those of us that are holding on to this faith, our call, what's our call and what's our challenge? We've all been here before, but I want you to jump over here in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, the last church that Jesus speaks about here is the Laodicean church. And this Laodicean church is the age where we are living right now. And so Jesus speaking to what is considered his church today says this in verse 18. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. He is talking to the church in this. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, many times, this scripture has been used in behalf of bringing people to Christ, but the context is he's talking to the church. I believe the church has closed its door as a whole to Jesus. And there are churches that will say, if Jesus knocked on the door, go away, we already got our program, we already got our agenda. And Jesus says, I'm knocking at your door. He's saying that to us individually as well. Will you let me come in? Or are you going to hold fast to just, this is who I am? We do not want to be a part of a faithless and perverse generation. I stand at the door and knock. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Even as I overcome, I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, I know that this was a hard, tough message today. But I want us to take heart in this. And our job really is, I wrote down several things that the Scriptures tell us. And I'm going to summarize the entire New Testament. You ready? Be strong. Don't fear what's happening around you. Stand for God's Word. Love people. And pray fervently. You want me to say those again? You ready? Be strong. Don't fear. Be strong in God's Word. Love people. And pray fervently. I'm going to add one more. Let God change you. Because you heard what the old preacher said. If you ain't changing, you ain't changing. Young people, please listen to me. You live in a world that is extremely complicated right now that some of us as adults, we've not had to deal with as much as you're dealing with right now. But I'm really asking you to listen to me and listen to what God's Word says and to hold to that. Because the world around you, as you see, is declining very fast against the things of God. So I really want to challenge you that you hold on to what you have heard. What you've heard right here, what you've heard in the years that you've grown up here, hold on to that. Don't let it go, no matter what anybody else tells you, because this is truth. This is truth. David in the Psalms, he said, I was once young and now I'm old and I've never seen the Lord forsake me. Never seen him forsake the righteous. God will never do that. Signs of a faithless generation, we're there, folks. Our job is to stand for the things of God. Father, I thank you for this word, and I'm asking you, Father, help us be the people of God in the world that you call today Sodom and Gomorrah. But help us, God, to win people for you. Help those that our eyes have been blinded, God, help us to love, to be able to share the gospel with them, to bring a change, a new life. Father, as you know, as I've sought your word this week, I've grieved over America and our condition. Father, you ask us to pray for those that are in authority, so we pray right now for them. God, that nothing is impossible for you to get a hold of lives and change lives. We don't want the woe for them, Lord. But God, I pray that you would help us to be your people. In Jesus' name. God's people said amen. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.